Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Bills Mafia, we know there's one thing on your mind every day. Your team, the Buffalo Bills. So Matt Bobe and Sal Capaccio are here to bring you the latest news, notes, and opinions straight from the source right here, right now. Because it's always game day in Buffalo.
You know, sometimes we talk a little bit about, you know, the age difference between Matt and I and different experiences we've had in life. And here's one, though. I'll tell you that despite me being, you know, a couple decades, I think, older than Matt, basically, I'm thinking you might have done something that I have not done yet in life that I'm about to do for the first time next month. Are you ready?
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm excited to hear this.
Be the best man at a wedding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that before.
I have not. I've had many friends who've gotten married. Maybe that means that I'm just not best man material. They don't like me. I think it's just because we had so many close friends and the way it works out with family and brothers that it's never happened. I am going to be the best man for the first time ever at my best friend's wedding, who I've known for over 45 years. We were literally in second grade together.
Okay.
And he's getting married next month, and he has asked me to be his best man. And it's going to be the first time that I'm going to do this in my life.
So you're going to give a speech, right?
I am. Yep.
Okay. All right. How are you with public speaking? That's a joke. That's a joke. That was a joke.
I'm not charging him like I normally would for an event or gala.
I was going to say there's no fee that comes with this. Only thing, are you going to write something or are you just going to wing it?
I'll do what I normally do. I'll give bullet points for myself. Like I normally just, if I go speak to kids or something like that, and by the way, I don't actually charge, you know, for going to speak with kids and stuff, but sometimes I do get booked to do galas and MCs for different things.
Yeah.
The point is, what I'll do is I will do like bullet points of what topics I want to hit. So for something like this, I'll probably do the same thing.
Okay. This is not for you. This is going to be the only bit of public speaking advice that I ever give on this podcast. And if you want to listen to me, then great. If you think that I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm bad at it, then that's fine too. If you're ever going to do any sort of public speaking, do not, and I beg you, do not read off of a cell phone. It looks so bad.
Yeah.
When somebody comes up to a podium or a lecture or the front of the room or whatever it is, and they stumble and they take out their cell phone and they're trying to use the Face ID. I know not everybody has a printer at their house, whatever it is. I'd rather you write it on a piece of loose leaf paper. Just don't use the cell phone. If you're going to write something out, put it on a piece of paper. It just looks so much cleaner than having the cell phone out there. I'll actually give a second bit of advice too. Don't ever start a speech with, "For those of you who don't know me," and then introduce yourself. They'll figure it out. They are smart enough in any setting to figure out why you were up there talking. So Sal's not going to do this because he's a pro. But if you ever are listening to
this, I think most people will know who I am, to be honest. Saying that to be braggadocious, but in our circle, people will know who I am.
If you are listening to this and you ever are a best man or a maid of honor or have to do some sort of speech, you're going to do great. And I believe in you. Just don't go up and say, for those of you who don't know, I am insert name here's best friend and I've known her for my entire life. Because you can say the exact same thing without saying, for those of you who don't know me. And it just immediately sounds better. And also, now I'm giving three bits of advice, but whatever. Well, go shorter than you think you need to go. Yes. This is not like a... No.
People don't want to be sitting there all night and listening to you.
You're not defending a dissertation.
About them.
You're not defending a dissertation. It's, hey, this is an amazing person. I'm so happy for this amazing person because they've made all of our lives in this room better. I wish you and whoever else nothing but the best. Godspeed.
I will also obviously throw a couple jokes in there maybe about him. And here's the other part of this, though. See, you talked about the speech. That's the thing you immediately went to. I'm not sweating that whatsoever. Like, that's what I do. I'll get up there and I'll just talk, right? Not a big deal. However, I've never had to put together some sort of bachelor party. And I'm doing that now. Okay, I just want to preface this and say, I'm 53. My friends and I are in their 50s, their 40s, their 60s. Mm-hmm. We're not doing the Tom Hanks bachelor party these days, folks. Okay, that's not how it's going. We're not flying out to Vegas and the hangover. That's not what we're doing. It needs to be a little more low-key, right? Mm-hmm. We're just going to have some fun. So what we've decided to do is we're actually going to go to a Bison's game. It's going to sit in a suite, have some fun watching baseball, maybe play some cards in the suite, and then head over to the casino as a group, basically, after, and have some fun. I'm going to sound really boring to a lot of people right now, but I think that's going to be a pretty cool night, actually, for about 15, 20 dudes.
I didn't do anything for mine. I just had the guys in my wedding and some of our really good friends come, and we played a round of golf the day before the wedding. And then we went back to somebody's house and had pizza and wings and hung out and had a bonfire. And that was what we did before
the wedding. Problem was, we were thinking, well, if you play golf, then you get like a lot of guys who aren't actually with each other for 4 hours.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. I mean, like, that's tricky because, you know, like, everybody wants to be with the groom in this instance and trying to spend time with that person. So that is a little bit tricky. I personally just like love golf more than anything. Yeah. So if I had the ability to golf, I wanted to make sure I took advantage of that.
Okay. Last question. Sorry, folks. We will get to the Bills OTAs in just 1 second. I've been offered by the Buffalo Bisons because they do this for people in this situation. If my friend Chris, who's getting married, my friend of 45 plus years, he's 53 years old.
Oh, yes.
If he'd like to throw out the first pitch.
Yes, absolutely. That's so sick.
Yes, and no offense, he might be listening. He's not the most athletic guy in the world.
Doesn't matter.
I said that makes it better.
That makes it better. That's so cool. That is, to me, like throwing out the first pitch at a sporting event would be like, that would be something I would be nervous about. That would be something... Yes. I'd be nervous about that. I've been nervous about a couple public things in my life.
Okay.
That would be pretty hot. Not like just throw the ball, right? Like I'm not winding up. I never played baseball or Little League, but I can throw a baseball. It would be 40 miles an hour, but I would guarantee it would get there. And
I did it once at a single A game in Florida when I was working in radio down there.
Did you?
Yes. And I would say that I don't think I threw a strike, but it wasn't a bad pitch.
That's all I need. I don't even need a strike. And I'm not going to do the whole put it up to mine and like throw the leg in the air. No, I would just literally go up and I would go all the way to the top of the mound. I wouldn't do it from the front of the mound either.
We are going to probably have him do that. It'll be very fun and exciting. We'll see where it goes. In the meantime, where did you go today? What did you do? I did not see you at Bill's OTAs.
Well, I brought my daughter to the pediatrician. She has a double ear infection. So I was spending some time with Elia getting her some medicine this morning. After that, just kind of hung out and I took this week off from work. So I am enjoying some peace and quiet once Saber season has come to an end. And I'll be back for mandatory minicamp next week. And then I'm probably going to take off some more time up until training camp. The only thing is there's a much bigger gap between mandatory minicamp and training camp than there normally is because the NFL season starts so late this year. The Bills aren't starting training camp until basically the end of July, like July 27th or 28th. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the date? Mm-hmm. Right?
So 29th is the first practice.
29th. They report the 28th, 29th, first practice. So there's a little bit of a bigger gap. you know, you get filled in by the NHL draft and NHL free agency and some of the other good fun stuff that's happening there. But yeah, just decompressing a little bit this week. So you'll fill me in on what I missed at OTAs, even though, like, I still have a sports group message that I'm in with all of the people I work with. So I'm seeing all the things that they're posting and what stories they're covering.
What caught your eye? What caught your eye today that you want to know about?
That, why wasn't Keon Coleman there?
That's a good question. I don't know. We don't get those details.
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that caught my eye of like,
but I would say, okay, it's funny you say it's the first thing that caught your eye. I don't think about stuff like that. I'm like, oh, he'll be here at mandatory minicamp. He's been here the other days. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean he's out there tomorrow. We're just not out there.
True.
I don't think about that. I get it. Why you would ask, because he's a guy that needs to be out there as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But sometimes things happen. You never know. Life happens. It's definitely a full off season of workouts, but it's a good, I'm glad you gave that observation.
You know what?
Because I didn't think about that very quickly.
You know what? This is a good not knowing all of the information and jumping to conclusions lesson for even me having this conversation, because I did not give Keon the benefit of the doubt. I was like, hey, he needs to be out there. There could be anything in his life happening that is far more important than football. I saw Connor McGovern was also absent, and I was like, well, I'm pretty sure his wife is due really soon, and maybe that's why he's not there. But I didn't immediately go to that for Keon. So, you know, maybe that's on me and that I need to be better here. But that was it was the first thing that jumped out to me because of the, hey, he's got to be out there. And I have no idea why he wasn't. Maybe just wasn't feeling good, right? Like, there's totally, that's a realistic possibility because he's been at all the other practices. Just as it was notable that when I saw the list of players not attending, he was the first name I looked at and was like, oof, that's not good. The other one too is Dorian Williams. Like, why haven't we seen Dorian Williams?
He has not been there really at all. And I don't know why that is. I will say this though. For example, to your point, Christian Benford was there today. We spoke with him after practice. And I said, hey, I don't know if you've been here at all, but I know we haven't seen you. So just asking what it's like to be back out there now and whatever, you know, capacity. And he goes, no, I haven't been here for personal reasons. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. So whatever was going on in Christian Benford's life, he hadn't been there, but he was out there today. And yeah, you're right. So to me, it's an anecdote is the word I'm looking for here, mm-hmm. of what people care about at OTAs, which is attendance and injuries, right? Mostly attendance and injuries. Who's there? Who's not there? How are guys recovering from injury? Did anybody get hurt during practice? Okay. Michael Hoyt still recovering. Josh Palmer still working off to the side. Joe Andreessen was actually on the field today after working off to the side last time. A couple guys did return. We saw Christian Benford was one of them. Mm-hmm. But here's the bigger storyline for me today. The biggest thing that I think was notable, we had a guy literally switch positions from offense to defense.
Yeah, that's crazy. Here's the thing, though.
Travis Clayton, by the way.
Travis Clayton. It's going to take a lot for me to think that this is a big deal. It's an easy and noticeable change. But like, what are we doing here?
Not impacting the roster, you mean?
No, it's like, because he's part of the pathway program, he's been able to be here. And to me, that
doesn't even count, essentially.
Yeah, to me, it indicates more that it didn't work out offensively. So now they're just kind of like,
ooh,
giving
really?
Him a flyer. Yeah, that's how I read it.
This is glass half full, glass half empty kind of conversation here so far, starting off with the Keon stuff, because I don't know if I see it that way. I think it could be because they have numbers on offense, but also maybe they're looking for another, you know, kind of a more of a nose guard type of guy. I know he's a little over 300 pounds. He's 6 foot seven. Uh-huh. Maybe they think, hey, maybe he's a guy that you can plug in there. I don't know that. I think it could be because of numbers, because of injuries and guys recovering, what they have in the offensive line they're comfortable with, and figure, you know what? Not that it's not working out for him, but there's real no path for him. Mm-hmm. So where can we put him that can really help us somewhere else? Maybe that's what it is. I agree with you, though. I don't think he's making the team either way. Mm-hmm. He probably stays in the practice squad. They get a 17th spot for him on the practice squad because he is an international player. He gets exempt for one more year left for that, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting to see a guy do that. And I would also underscore, Matt, it's not, I think these guys are such great athletes. They can generally do a lot of what you ask them to do, even if switch positions. But a guy like this who doesn't have any bad habits necessarily, or certain habits, because he's played it his whole life. He hasn't. He's new to the game. Just started playing football a few years ago, part of the International Pathways program. Like we said, never played collegiate American football. To me, the biggest challenges would be footwork. Instead of going backward as a pass rusher, you're going forward now a lot. Mm-hmm. as a pass protector at offense, I mean, you're going forward. But I think hands, I was watching his hands today. You're not doing this anymore to keep guys away. Now you're slapping. Now you're trying to be violent with your hands. I think that would be the biggest adjustment for a guy like this.
Yeah, and hey, I guess it's worth a shot in the dark, right? You don't know until you try it. But I would take that point you made about glass half full, glass half empty. If they feel like they still need to figure some things out on the defensive line, I find that to be not concerning because it's a mandatory minicamp, but why don't they have more options there that they feel comfortable with? And yeah. I guess that's the way I would frame it of like, I still have a lot of questions about the defensive line just as a whole and how it pieces itself together. I think I have more questions about the defensive line than maybe any other part of the entire roster.
We didn't get a chance to ask anyone about, and Travis Clayton, I didn't see him after practice. Like, I think he went in and we didn't catch up with him. So unfortunately, so hopefully that'll happen next week. Here's the other thing. He might be back in a white jersey next week. He blew his defense, white his offense. It could be one day. Who knows? Maybe they just wanted to see what he offered, but he was wearing his number 67. He's wearing blue. We didn't get a chance to talk to Joe Brady or Jim Leonard about this because they spoke earlier this week, but next week's different. Next week, we'll get a chance to talk to people. We'll see if Travis Clayton is there. Find out what the situation is, and then we'll kind of get more of a handle and more of a read on, you know, what's going on. We did talk today, though, to Deion Walker, and we learned while Landon Jackson has gained 20 to 25 pounds, Deion Walker is down 10 pounds intentionally. He wants to be able to be slimmer, and he even said one of the adjustments from him from last year is he wants to be able, like, to have more stamina, and he thinks that will help.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, that's a good point. You know, it's funny. The NFL, might have been the NFL or the Bills, posted on YouTube a couple days ago some Bills offensive highlights from 2019 to 2025. Did you see any of this at all?
I did not.
So it was basically just a bunch of great offensive plays. They did the same thing for defense yesterday. And I went through this morning and I just watched the video. It was about a half an hour. And it was a bunch of defensive plays.
I like that.
You know what stood out? These are only highlights, by the way, was how impactful Deion Walker was. And I think we overlooked it, but I think it kind of got brushed to the side once the season ended because there were so many other big storylines. Like, Deion Walker had an interception in the divisional round against the Broncos. That is a defensive tackle interception.
Right.
He had some great plays against the Falcons in that game where Ed Oliver came back and then they only had three defensive tackles in that game. And that's the stamina point of like, hey, he got thrown into that situation and did not look like he was ready to take on that big of a workload. Because nobody would be. That rotation was ridiculous because Daquan got hurt in warmups before the game. The other thing that stood out to me was how many guys on the defense are still available and have not been signed by anybody else. Because it's like, man, you're watching Joey Bosa plays. You're watching Matt Milano plays. Trey White plays. Daquan plays. Taron Johnson plays. Like, obviously, that's a little different for Taron. It's like none of these guys are here anymore. It's going to be a almost overhaul on that side of the ball.
he made NFL all rookie team, Dion Walker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That he was recognized in the league, which is cool. I asked him today about, I said, hey, I think it's the first time we've kind of talked to you since then. What, how cool is that? He's like, yeah, you know, I don't really think about it, but it is cool. He's like, my mom tells me, my dad tells me about it, reads that stuff and sees it. So it's cool for them to see him on a list, you know? And I just get the feeling that, you know, he feels like already he belongs in this league and he's got a lot more that he can, you know, offer to this team. And then I transitioned and said, what do you think about what Jim Leonard said about Ed Oliver kind of being able to be a little more open and free this year? His response, Dion Walker's response was, I'm scared for the opponent. I'm scared. Now, it was kind of funny, right? Like this team, I think really believes that Ed Oliver is going to be super impactful with this new defense and scheme and the freedom he will have within it.
Was super impactful last year in the very limited action we saw, you know, in the Ravens
three game, games, three sacks.
In the Ravens game, everybody remembers the forced fumble he had on Derrick Henry, but there was a huge tackle for loss he had earlier in the game and another really big play that he made on a third down to stop Lamar and a sack in that game. In the Panthers game, he had a sack, but everybody on the defense had a sack in that game. And then even in the Falcons game, he made a couple nice plays before he was ultimately injured. So it was like, yeah, there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about Ed Oliver. That said, after those two guys is where my questions really start. After those two guys, like I like some of the other pieces. You know, I did a big story with Landon Jackson last week. I have no idea what Landon Jackson is going to be with this new system and with this new body of his. I don't know what to expect from Zion Logue or Zane Durant or some of those other guys that are around.
Would you agree if I said whatever order it is, you don't have to put them necessarily 1, 2, 3, whatever. There are 11 guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm sorry, 10 players on the defensive line. Okay. The guys down, not the edge, 10 players. And would you agree that the five main guys, whatever order, biggest chance to be on the team, make the team play? Ed Oliver, Dion Walker, TJ Sanders, Dwayne Carter, Landon Jackson, Zane Durant, right? Because six, yeah. Because that would leave Fedarian Mathis, Tommy Akinkabasode, Zion Logan, Cody Huseman. So you're right when I say that, right?
Zane Durant, I don't know yet. I
so
know.
Let's put him number six. Let's go to the top five then. Oliver, Walker, Sanders, Carter, Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Great. I'm glad you did that, actually. Proves my point even more. Think about this. Ed Oliver missed 14 games last year. TJ Sanders missed 5 games. Dwayne Carter missed 17 games. Landon Jackson missed 14 games, I believe. Holy cow, Matt. I mean, the guys, the four of the top, the only one didn't was Dion Walker, I think. Everybody else was like majorly injured. TJ Sanders the least, and that was still 5 games he missed, I think.
Yeah, and it's not even just on the defensive line. I know that's the point you're making, but think about the entire defense. Terrell Bernard basically played last year hurt. He's going to be an impact player for them. Think about Michael Hoyt. Michael Hoyt played a game and a half and was really impactful in the game and a half that he played.
Hoyt, you know, today, by the way, did say his goal is to be ready for week one. His goal is ready for training camp. Sorry, he said, but it's all about making sure that he's ready to go week one.
It's good to hear. You know, it feels like that's, you know, attainable based off of the limited things we've, been able to see out on the football fields. Yeah, they were really banged up on defense last year. Really banged up. So it is an overhaul, but it's almost like an overhaul with pieces and players that they already had. And, you know, it's easy to forget, but like their first draft pick this year was TJ Parker. We're going to see a lot of TJ Parker this year, right? Like when you draft a guy there, they need production out of him. TJ Sanders was kind of a bummer last year because I thought going into the year he could really be an impact player. Got hurt, was banged up a little bit, but maybe didn't live up to those expectations. While so many other guys had the injuries, he just never really looked like he was ready to take that next step.
He also switched positions last year towards the end of the year. He actually played defensive end in a 4-3 because they were so banged up with other guys on the roster.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely. I just don't understand still, and we won't know what a healthy rotation here looks like on the defensive line. Like, let me give you a scenario.
Okay.
It's 3rd and 7. Who's on the defensive line there? Ed, Dion, Landon Jackson.
Well, you're probably playing. So you're probably playing. You might be playing dime there, right? Six defensive backs. But are you saying just five guys? Because then you look at the front, I think, overall. But let's just say you're only playing a regular five man defensive back unit, right?
Yep.
Who are your six guys who are not defensive backs? Mm-hmm. Ed Oliver, Deion Walker, Michael Hoyt, Greg Rousseau, Bradley Chubb, and then who? TJ Parker? I don't know.
I was going to say
Javon Solomon. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think Landon Jackson is at play here just because I feel like you can stick him on the defensive line and maybe get a little bit of pass rush juice out of him. I don't know. It's not as cut and dry as it has been in the past, which is equally exciting and, I guess, if you're a Bills fan, maybe concerning because you don't know what it's going to look like.
Guy we haven't talked a lot about, only a little bit because of the secondary part of a player being drafted at his position, is Max Hairston. Mm-hmm. Max Hairston's been at the workouts. He had some injuries last year. We know that early in the season, training camp, had the knee injury. Thankfully, he was good to go. He came back. I think the Carolina game was his first game, was really showed his physicality. Then he got hurt again later in the year, wasn't available in the playoffs. Made a really, really good play at OTAs on Tuesday. Josh Allen threw a ball towards the sideline. He made a great break on the ball, dove, knocked it down. Then he laid on the ground for a while. Trainers tended to him. You were like, oh my God, what's going on here? He got up. He was on the offensive side. So he stayed there. They were still talking to him for a while. Eventually went back on the field, played with the defense 11-on-11. So he's fine. Right. But certainly it just brought back, oh my gosh, here you go with corners again. Have you thought much about like what he could be in year two? He's a first round pick last year. He was the fastest guy at the combine a couple of years ago. Yes, I know. I'm saying independent of them drafting IGB. I'm just talking about Max Hairston as a football player in year two of the NFL.
I'm excited about the flashes in potential, but I at the same time have no idea if I can bank on the health. And that's a big concern, right? Because the sample size we have seen, there have been injuries and there have been multiple injuries. There was a concussion mixed in there as well. Is that correct?
So I think was it ankle at the end of the year, maybe?
I don't remember whatever happened in the Jets game. And, you know, that's an entirely different conversation.
Probably
shouldn't have been out there anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, there were a lot of little injuries. The first injury during training camp turned out to be a very substantial injury. It just wasn't.
It was a high ankle. Ending. That's right. Jets game. You're right. I said ankle earlier today on the radio trying to remember, but that's exactly what it was the high ankle.
With what, 5-6 minutes left in the game?
Yeah. I mean, I get it. We could revisit it, but I understood why he was out there. But again, this all went back to the Jamarcus Ingram situation too, by the way.
Back to the Jamarcus Ingram situation. It also goes back to when a corner got hurt in the Broncos game. I forgot who it even was. Then all of a sudden, what was it? Dane Jackson goes in for one play, and that's the play that they take the lead on with 2 minutes left, the Broncos. I think Max Hairston has a really high ceiling. But here's my Max Hairston Sabres comparison, which is a little tricky, but I'm still a little in hockey brain. To me, Max Hairston is like Josh Norris. I think you're excited about the potential, but you just don't know if he's going to be out there. And to me, that's more reason why Tre'Davious White should be one of the guys they still consider bringing back. The fact that he is still available to me means that they should be making that phone call. Their top four corners next year should be Christian Benford and Max Hairston as their 1-2, and then Tre'Davious White and Davison Igbinosin as their 3 and their 4.
I'm with you. I'm a little worried about their depth at outside corner, but it's interesting to me that being said, they released Daryl Porter Jr. when they signed a player the other day. The player they signed was a linebacker, the new linebacker, and I'll get his name, Demetrius Flanagan Fowles. They released Daryl Porter Jr. an outside corner. So I'm like, okay, well, they must feel pretty good about what they have there. I don't know. It's not a spot you generally get rid of bodies. You bring more bodies in, especially this time of year to take reps. So that's really interesting. Play of the day turned in by Minnesota State tight end, I think it is, Shane Zylstra. He made a catch today that had all of us in the end zone watching and our media colleagues going, oh my God, it was a Odell Beckham behind the back, behind the head, one-handed grab as he's falling to the ground in the back of the end zone for a touchdown.
Very cool. Thrown from Kyle Allen or Shane Buechele?
I don't even remember.
I don't think Josh Allen was throwing it. It's not Josh.
We were marveling at the catch, and then a couple plays later, I don't remember who it was, but I think it might have been Shane, but Frank Gore Jr. had a really nice catch too as he dove towards the back of the end zone. But we could talk more about the offense from what we see next week at mandatory minicamp. You brought up, we brought up, we talked about Max Harrison. Max Harrison also, his name has been brought up the last 24, 48 hours because when you look at a big trade that was made, Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett going to the Rams, Rams sending Jared Verse to the Browns. We all know that part of the reason the Browns did it was you had to get a really good young pass rusher, Jared Verse. Mm-hmm. The Bills did not have, do not have a very good young pass rusher to offer. What if they had just a really good young player? Is Max Harrison like the top of that list? Like, is he, if there's a trade to be made out there for whoever it is, and the team says to the Bills, hey, we just want a really good young player who is it?
It's Dan Walker.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Walker. Deion Walker would probably be the young Bills.
Never thought about him, but you're right about it. Yep, you're right.
He would be the guy I think player other teams would be the most excited about because of the potential, even more so than Max Harrison. I know that, you know, you would have that fifth-year option with Max Harrison down the road, but I think Deion Walker would be the most valuable guy. But to your point, nobody even close to Jared Verse, and it's not just – I think sometimes we look at it a little too, like, black and white. It's not just, hey, Jared Verse had this many sacks in his first two seasons. It's he also is on a ridiculously cost-controlled contract as the 19th overall pick, and you have him for two more years at really cheap and then a fifth-year option. So the Browns are getting 3 years of a cost-controlled Jared Verse, who is a young, ascending star player. All of that said, would have loved to see the Bills in on this or make a move of this caliber because I don't know how they would have pulled it off.
The Bills had the ammunition considering what was given back, right?
No, they didn't. But then that goes to one of the, it's not an argument that we have, but the draft conversations we've had in years past of like, are they good enough at drafting? Because why is Deion Walker the name that is the answer? Is that because Deion Walker is that good or is it because they just don't have that much solid young talent?
Probably both. I mean, they've taken swings in free agency, even at edge rusher. They've drafted guys in the defensive line, and you know, here we are having this conversation. Let me ask you just about the trade itself. How did that trade hit you? Myles Garrett to the LA Rams for Jared Verse, a first, a second, and a third.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I understand it for both sides, for sure. I think that when you get the best player in a trade, you're always chasing like these draft picks. You hope that that could turn into somebody who is a difference maker. But I feel like the Browns, they need ammunition to go get a quarterback. And if we're going into what many believe to be a historic quarterback draft class in 2027, I get why they are adding picks. Like, they weren't going to be competitive this year anyway. So that's another year wasting of Myles Garrett. That's why, to me, it makes sense. The only thing that would have been, to me, I think it's baseball analogy that the Browns hit a single or a double. The only thing that would have made it a triple or a home run was if there were two firsts attached to it and Jared Verse. But the fact that they were able to pull Jared Verse, I thought was a nice get for them. And for the Rams, I already thought they were the best team in football. Now I really think they're the best team in football.
I mean, they were already... In some books, I think the Super Bowl favorite, if not close to it. And this certainly puts them over the hump for some of those. And Myles Garrett's amazing. So, yeah, I don't think you compare trades apples for apples. You can't do that. Well, who won the trade? Well, each team has each side has a different goal for the trade. Mm-hmm. The Rams' goal is win the Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. They just got Myles stinking Garrett. Like, he's really great. He's great. And this is going to help them try to win the Super Bowl. Now, they also got rid of a very, very good young player, an excellent young player. Mm-hmm. Myles Garrett is one of the best to ever play this game. Jared Verse is going to be great, but you're trying to win a Super Bowl. You have Matt Stafford on maybe one year left, maybe two. We don't know that.
Yeah, didn't he just sign an extension?
He did, but I mean, it could be because of money too. He might be gone after this year. They just drafted Ty Simpson, right?
Yeah.
In the first round. But this is why they do it. I mean, they're just going all in, chips all in to try and win a Super Bowl. If you're a fan of the Rams, why don't you're happy about that. You want them to do that. You don't love giving up Jared Verse. If you're a fan of the Browns, of course you hate giving up Myles Garrett. He's Myles Garrett. You want him to retire in your uniform. It's awesome having this guy play for you. But what's the reality? He's 30 years old. Uh-huh. You aren't going to be contending this year. When you finally do contend, what is he doing? Is he actually going to be a major player, an impactful player for you?
Yeah.
No. So to me, this makes sense.
Yeah.
You get a great young pass rusher on a cost-controlled contract that you're going to be able to have in your organization for years to come. And you get ammunition to find that future quarterback if Deshaun Watson doesn't have a resurgence.
Yeah.
Shoulder Sanders doesn't work out. I really love what the Browns did, other than the fact that they had to give up one of the greatest players in franchise history.
Yeah, that's the thing that's tricky. I think of it from the Rams' perspective, too. And maybe this is just the way that my brain works. I think of the built-in luxury and benefits you have of already winning one and being able to be like, screw it. Let's go for it again. Right? Like, we've got, like, it's house money at this point. And if it doesn't work out, nobody takes away the championship you already won. Nobody will, like, it's not like this team will
flags fly forever, they say, Matthew.
That's what I mean. It's like,
that's right.
I feel that way about so many of these moves that are getting made. Like, it's the same as it's a little bit different, but it's even the same. And this is, I'm sure, the next thing we'll talk about. So the Eagles trade AJ Brown. Okay. Won a Super Bowl with him. Now you get a first round pick, and I understand why they did that, and I totally understand why the Patriots made that move. But for the Eagles, you're like, okay, you already won one. Like, all right, let's try and extend this window as much as possible and maybe try and go win another one.
Let's stay there. How do you view the Patriots after this move?
Like a true contender. Like, I think that they and the Bills.
How much better are they than they were before the move?
I think much better, because I think AJ Brown is going to get thrown into an offense where he should have immediate success. Like, Josh McDaniels with top end wide receivers has had a lot of success. This is a huge upgrade for what Drake May had last year. Not just AJ Brown, but AJ Brown and Romeo Dobbs, who's another nice addition for them.
Agreed.
I think their offense is going to be even scarier than it was last year. At least
scary was it?
I
was
think
that scary. They were efficient throwing the ball. They weren't that scary of an offense. But I agree with you. It makes it much better. Mm-hmm. They weren't that great of an offense last year. They had a really good quarterback. They were very efficient, especially throwing the ball down the field.
The line is the question. The line is the question with them. The line is the question.
They didn't have a great receiving core. They made plays. But Stephon Diggs is gone. I agree with you, though. I mean, Romeo Dubs, A.J. Brown, Kyle Williams, they drafted last year. And then, you know, don't forget Pop Douglas, Douglas is there. DeMario Douglas. Like, I like this. And this is the exact trade the Bills made for Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
Josh Allen was going into his third year on a rookie deal. You knew he was on a really ascending player. You had him for a couple more years, cost control before you had to pay him. You give up a first round pick. You get a guy who's 27 in Diggs' case, 28 in AJ Brown's case. This is exactly the trade the Bills made. And I think the Patriots did exactly what they needed to do. Now, I would even say, though, the 2028 first round pick is nice. Ah, we don't have to give up anything in 27. I actually think maybe the 27 first round pick might have been for them something they should have been maybe given up, because they're going to have to pay Drake May within the next couple of years. And 2028 might mean getting someone out of quarterback. More on a younger, cost-controlled talent was more important in 2028.
I often take these things and then compare them to the Bills, because I feel like that's a good thought exercise. Does the A.J. Brown make your opinion on the D.J. Moore trade change at all? Like, do you feel like it's a better move for the Bills, a worse move for the Bills, or are you neutral on what the cost was, the acquisition was, what you're paying him, and all that other stuff?
I feel better today than I did the day it happened, giving up a second rounder. But I would say I felt better even more so when they when the Denver Broncos traded for Jalen Waddle, like in what that return was. I think that kind of got you to, okay, now you see it. I think I'm pretty neutral on it. I would say this. One thing that's kind of been, I don't want to get too excited about it because it's OTAs and you get, you don't want to do that. I think the return, the reviews on DJ Moore so far from inside the building, players from us in the media are, he might be really, really good in this offense with Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. I really do. Like, I think the fit is going to be really impressive with the Bills. And I think that he will also complement the other pieces that they have. And, you know, before we started recording this podcast, we were talking about baseball a little bit. We were talking about like rotations and pitchers. I've heard this comparison made before. You bring in a good wide receiver here, everybody else is now probably more properly slotted. Khalil Shakir doesn't have to be your number one wide receiver. Now he can be your number two wide receiver. And if that's the case, all of a sudden Khalil Shakir's that much better and that much more effective.
100%.
Maybe Dalton Kincaid.
Everybody plays a little different role.
You know what I mean? Like, it changes the way that teams are going to play against you because they're going to respect a deep threat that is DJ Moore that the Bills have not had in a long time. Like, honestly, since young Gabe Davis, because Diggs was able to get down the field, but it also necessarily wasn't like the thing he was absolutely the best at. He was good all over the place. So yeah, I like,
and I think the Bills are going to want to throw the ball down the field more with Joe Brady running the show and not having a defensive head coach above him. I think that he feels a little bit more empowered and, you know, open to doing that. That's what I think the signals are about this.
We're recording this on Tuesday. Have you been on GR both Monday and Tuesday talking about the Bills?
I have been. I was just Tuesday.
Have you been asked by anybody publicly about Stefon Diggs?
I have not. Are you going to ask me?
Yeah.
Because why? Some sort of social media behavior is happening?
Yeah, it's literally just that. I want to make this clear. I don't think anything.
What has happened? Can you fill me in? Because I've seen talking about it.
Like CJ Gardner-Johnson tweeted about it, and Stefon Diggs posted some pictures of him in like a Bills jersey and an Instagram story of a video. And this is all Stefon Diggs online, cryptic. It's the stuff we were talking about years ago. I don't think so either.
I would be stunned. I think that I do not think that that would be something the Bills are interested in.
But let me ask you this as a big picture thing, right? Not necessarily tied to Stefon Diggs. Do you think there's any world where they add one more wide receiver? Or do you think that this is the wide receiver group?
I do, but I don't think it's Stefon Diggs. And I don't think it maybe even is a name like Stefon Diggs, like a big name like that. I mean, remember a couple of years ago, just using an example, folks, not saying this guy, when they brought in like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, right?
Yeah.
Like a guy who's got some skin on the wall.
Elijah
Moore.
He's
not like this big name.
Elijah Moore last year. Yeah. Elijah Moore last year.
Like, I would. Hey, how about this? I think Brandon Cooks could come back to the team.
Yeah. I mean, right now, let's say wide receivers, they're going to keep five or six. The easy ones to say are DJ Moore, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, just because if he's here, he's going to be on the team. Skylar Bell. And
well, you would might think Joshua Palmer, but he has been working off to the side. They could save $2.5 million by releasing him. I think that that's possible at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyrell Shavers, if he's healthy, he's on the team. I don't think he'll be healthy enough for week one. That was a late ACL tear. Mm-hmm. His insurance is Trent Sherfield.
Yeah. But I don't think Trent Sherfield should be one of your guys you're even considering throwing the ball to offensively. I think
he would
he's
just
more
basically play special teams
and be a gunner.
Be the gunner and be that guy. I mean, you do have Mecole Hardman still sitting there, Steven Gosnell, Jalen Virgil, and then three undrafted guys.
I think that there's room to go and add somebody. I don't necessarily know the type of skill set that you're trying to target. From a content and storyline standpoint, Diggs would be,
oh my God.
Oh, it would be like the AJ Brown thing. It'd be like, okay, we see you're AJ Brown. We're bringing back Stefon Diggs. It's like the glass shatters Stone Cold Steve Austin music plays. It would just be fun from like a covering the team standpoint of like, yep. Oh my gosh. It's just, there's only one ball. Stefon Diggs is going to go somewhere where, you know, where Stefon Diggs is going to go. He's always been
the Rams.
I was going to say one of two teams, the Rams or the Ravens. That's where I think Stephon Diggs is going to go. One of those two spots. The Ravens definitely could use another wide receiver.
Odell Beckham Jr. re-signed with the Giants. What do you think about that?
5 years ago, it was a great move, right? I mean,
yeah.
But to the Rams' point, they won a freaking Super Bowl with him and Cooper Kupp. Yeah. Like, he was so good in the first half of that game, then he got hurt. But he had, what, two touchdowns in the first half of that game? And that was right before the Bills signed Vaughn, right? Vaughn was incredible down the stretch for the Rams, and then that was the big splash from the Bills, and then it just didn't work out the way it had, you know, anybody had hoped. It's just, what a league. I just want one more, like, fun thing to talk about and to be, because right now it's been a relatively mundane offseason.
Let's hope. I don't want to be talking about this. Let's hope everybody shows up to Minotaur Minicamp, because then if not, we do have a story on our hands next week.
That's a very good point. We definitely do have a story on our hands.
And I don't want that to happen. Okay. Before I let you go, Matthew, what's your Stanley Cup prediction?
I knew you were going to ask it. Yep. I knew you were going to ask it. And I literally just checked on another tab to see if puck had dropped in game one. I'll say Hurricanes in six is my prediction. I don't want either team to win. Did you see my tweet?
I did not.
I got absolutely roasted by people.
You did? Wow. Well,
yeah.
Matt underscore Bove if you want to roast Matt. Why?
So I'm going to go back and find it. I don't really spend a ton of time on Twitter anymore. I still spend a ton of time on Twitter. I just don't spend a ton of time like engaging in things because there's so much negativity. All right. This was right when Carolina beat Montreal. And I tweeted, I don't think there is a Stanley Cup matchup I could care about less than Vegas and Carolina, which is because, you know, I don't like the Vegas Golden Knights and the Carolina Hurricanes really hurt eighth grade Matt Bove back in 2006. 475 replies to that tweet, all people from Vegas and Carolina telling me how much of a moron I am and how I don't know anything about hockey.
Wow, that is amazing.
100,000 views on that tweet. And it was just like me being like, I don't care who wins. And it was just a bunch of people like, you don't know what good hockey is. And it's like, dude, I've forgotten more about hockey than you even know.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What a stupid.
Because it
was people getting mad about this is dumb.
Both. I somehow managed to offend both fan bases.
Which is kind of cool, actually.
And which, in a way, was like a little bit gratifying. But at the same time, then people start to say really mean things to you. And then you're like, oh, that's not nice. You get it. Hey, you and I have had this talk before. People on social media. Somebody messaged me on Facebook the other day and told me that I'm like the worst person on the planet because I'm peddling a Landon Jackson comeback story and that there's absolutely no way he could be an impact player, and shame on me for even wasting the time of hardworking Buffalonians.
Okay.
I was like,
I don't want to get, that is terrible. It's stupid. Like, people, what are we doing? We're adults. We should be adults.
What?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
Oh yeah. Listen, some of the stuff that I got when it was revealed that I'll no longer be the sideline reporter of the Bills, 90% was so much great love. And thank you so much for everybody out there who sent that my way. I'm sad about it. I wish I still was, but I move forward. It's, you know, it's the business right now and it's the business I'm in, and that happened. But there were some really terrible things said. And what I don't understand, just in general, Matt, why would you want to kick people when they're down anyway? Like, who would do that? When people are going through something, when people are upset or sad about something, like, why would you want to kick them and kick them when they're down? I put it this way. Like, if they say don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Like, it's true to me. Uh-huh. Like, you don't have to like me. You don't have to like Matt. You really got to fire off a private message, a tweet, tagging us, saying how terrible we are. Like, look in the mirror a little bit. Like, what are we doing?
It's insane. This is the actual
oh my God,
this is the actual Facebook message from Eric.
I can't believe you're gonna read this on the air.
I could care less. I'm not gonna say
couldn't care less.
So there is no gray area. I believe you to be a giant troll that feeds and profits on a small town like Buffalo for your own gain. Your opinions simply follow a hype machine narrative that only profit your own agenda. Go F yourself, you troll F. Go F away. Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, man, dude, what did
I have to tell you,
Eric? I truly have no idea what you're talking about. Was my response?
It is so. That's just somebody who wants a reason to be mad at you. I also received a very, very horrible, hateful Facebook message privately.
Okay.
When all this happened with the sideline stuff, the person had their name on it. I did a little research. I found out the person works in local education.
Damn.
Oh, see, and I know a lot of people in local education. Let's just say that.
This is where we differ. You, I think, are pretty good at taking the high road. I usually try and take the high road, but sometimes I, at the last second, swerve the car and get off at the off ramp and like take screenshots and just post them and be like,
I handled this internally and it got handled.
Yeah. That's just so.
Let's just say that.
I just can't imagine somebody being like that. Yeah, it's whatever. Just be nice.
Again, like, why we gotta kick people when they're down? Why we gotta? There's so much hate in this world. There's so much negativity in this world. And like, someone goes through a bad time, you gotta kick them and spit on them, and you know what? And that thing you got, like, that's just stupid anyway. That's even true. Like,
it's
what
about
you doing your job?
It's about Landon Jackson. Job. It's about posting a video of Landon Jackson and how much weight he gained and how he's trying to be. It's like, yeah, it's always something.
I'm actually glad you brought this up to me. It makes me feel, honestly, it makes me feel a little better because I know I'm not the only one. It makes me laugh, right? Like, okay, like people are just,
yeah.
I don't know what the word is I want to use other than thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Yeah. Thanks to Mike Robbie, our producer. We'll be back again with another episode. I mean, obviously next week there is mandatory mini camp. So we're going to be having, you know, some conversations about that, but who knows when we're going to come at you next.
Yeah, we'll rattle off a couple episodes, just full disclosure, what they've done in the past, but what they've done in the past doesn't matter anymore, is a lot of times they wouldn't do the final day of mandatory minicamp. The last couple of years they have. So I think
indications are they will this year, but you never know how the first two days go where Joe Brady goes, you don't need to.
Yeah, it's been, at times they've been like, hey, 2 days is enough. Let's go and play Lasertron. And then some other times they've been like, no, we need the work. So I think based off of, you know, what you just said and what I had heard, I think they'll do all 3 days. But if it ends up being two, don't read too much into it, because that's also kind of the way they've operated.
Hey, let's do a better job of uplifting people, everyone. All right. Pick people up. Don't kick them when they're down. Right. That's our message today. And don't be longer than you have to if you're the best man or
exactly
maid of honor at a bachelor party, at a wedding, I mean, and you have to give a speech. For Matt, I'm Sal. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. At Sal Sports on YouTube, also on X at Matt_Bove.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.